Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
One of the things that made you a magnet for us in the media when you were in that Bears locker room is that you were willing at times to be introspective about where you were in your development. You went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. You went to the Pro Bowl the next year. You were establishing yourself as one of the great players in the league, but at times you were willing to say, look, like, I don't know the game of football. I'm just asking, what's the snap count and what number do I need to go block on this play? And so what was that transition like of using your natural gifts to carve out your early success, but also understanding, like, I've got a long way to go to figure out all this stuff that's going on around me?
Well, luckily, I stuck around in the league long enough to be a guy who did understand where to go and who to block and why and how.
Right.
And I was able to help young men who didn't know either. And I realized that I wasn't unique. None of my problems were unique to me. It's just problems that are unique to the National Football League. And I remember when I had the opportunity to work with Trey Smith in Kansas City, who has turned out to be an exceptional right guard and now a two-time Super Bowl winner. And working on his third. But you get an opportunity to work with these young guys, and they're just puppies, dude. They're just incredibly gifted, talented puppies. And that's what I was as a youngster. And thank God for the OGs, the veterans, the guys on the team like Matt Slauson, Jermon Bushrod, Evan Britton, Roberto Garza. The list goes on and on and on. For guys like Jordan Mills and myself, who were, one was a seventh rounder, one was a first rounder, we were best buddies. We played next to each other, and we started every game our rookie
opening
year.
Day starters. Yeah, exactly.
Our entire offensive line didn't miss a snap the first year, and it was a special year.
That's when
you and I met. That's why it's such a special year.
Record setting, no question about that. I remember that year you also saying, like, the first time you lined up across from Ndamukong Suh, it was the first time in your life you ever felt the emotion of intimidated, right? Like, I mean, am I correct in that? Like, and like, we're looking at you like, Kyle Long has never been intimidated in his life, and you're like, no, man.
Well, I felt you feel human. I mean, it's the NFL is as intimidating and awe-inspiring and it can be deflating and inflating,
right?
Depending on which team you play for. And
sometimes
I would
it's the
say
same in the same year, right? You can feel them both.
You can feel everything in 5 seconds. You know what I mean? You can feel fear. The ball snapped. You could be late. You could feel anxiety. And then you can throw the perfect punch and you can feel relief. But that's just the game. And when you play Sue, you're more often than not feeling anxiety and a right club to the shoulder pad that feels like a lightning bolt.
And your first game was against Geno Atkins. Am I right on that?
Yeah, it was like, I remember we had Geno Atkins, then we went to the Bill. We played the Bills. It was Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, you name it.
Yeah.
Darius.
You're a young player. You're obviously very driven and very self-aware of what you're doing well and what you're not doing well. How do you manage that when you're in your first couple years in the league of trying to figure out, like, how do I take my natural level of give a damn, which is elite, and make it so that it is a plus and not consuming? Because I know for a lot of young players, that can be a little bit of a challenge.
You got to take what's yours and make it a strength and use it all the time. That's really the simplest way I can say it. And my dad used to tell me, let your freak flag fly. Well, my freak flag was I gave an immense amount of F's. And
yeah, right.
I was willing to work hard at it. And I wasn't always going to use the right techniques, but I'll tell you what, my intent was there and my commitment was there. And that's what my team knew. And those are the guys next to me that I went to the line of scrimmage with every time we clapped hands and got to play from Jay Cutler or Mitch Trubisky, whoever it was, you know, and that's part of being an offensive lineman. And that's what the fun thing is, right? I mean, it's fun to be able to assert your will on the man across from you. And, you know, the old cliche, moving a guy against his will. It's all fun. It is all fun.
What did you
learn when you're young? When you're young.
What did you learn about persevering through struggle? I remember, obviously, probably most vividly to me is when you got the late 2015 training camp call to switch from inside to outside. And it's like, oh, by the way, the season opener is coming in a matter of days here. Good luck, kid. And there's a level of trial and tribulation to that that'll put you through some struggle that as a young guy, you got to figure out a way how to push through that. And I remember you and David Magazu talking pretty deeply about just getting through that initial wall to get that comfort level and realize that you are capable of doing this at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I always had belief that I could do it. And coming into the league, there were people talking about me playing tackle, and I was comfortable with Aaron Cromer's plan to keep me at right guard. And I had bought into his prioritization of the internal section of the pocket, the interior being the real strength of the shield. I mean, people talk tackles all day, but they run guys by. You got to fight the fight in the middle. So Aaron Cromer, I'm of that school of thought, and I was lucky to play for him. The first 2 years, I was a rookie Pro Bowler, and then I was an All-Pro my second year.
Yeah,
and I didn't have a lot of fear my second year, regardless of who I played. I mean, I was kind of there were times when I was kind of getting bored playing right guard, and when Jordan Mills was released going into the third year, I saw it as an opportunity to increase my value as a football player and an opportunity to increase our value as a football team, because we didn't have a guy who was going to step in and play right tackle that I would want to play next to, essentially. And I had the opportunity to play tackle. I did it. And I gave up a sack in each of the first 4 weeks. I had Julius Peppers. He broke two of my fingers on my right hand in the first game.
Great.
And I was like, this is going to be hard, but I'm going to be better for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, good. Julius Peppers game one. I forget who else. I had Von Miller that year, Khalil Mack, Cliff Averill, you know, you name it. I played a lot of them. And a lot of them I didn't give sacks to.
I think you showed our guy, poor little looker, out for Rich Campbell, your finger after that Green Bay game, and he came back to the press box after the game and said, holy shit, like that thing was sideways, right? Isn't that the injury, or was there another finger injury that I'm mistaken?
No, the fingers on my right hand, this one and this one, were laying on top of my hand. They were just sitting back here with my glove on. So my glove was like stretched in the palm, and I put them back. And I didn't want to use my right, and trying to block Julius Peppers, even if I had four hands, would be impossible. So trying to do it with one hand was even tougher. I gave up another sack. And then each of the first 3 weeks, I gave up a sack, and people were ready to, you know, send me to the train station, but I just stuck it out and stuck with Coach Magazu's prep. And, you know, God rest his soul, he was somebody that he didn't exactly put me at ease throughout the course of the week. I think he had more anxiety than me, but he made it a lot of fun to play, and he made it a challenge every day at practice. But yeah, being a guy who says I can do it is the biggest honor in the NFL.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I mean, I just think of – there's not often an offensive lineman gets to do something outside of just what they do. So I think about Zach Martin and guys right. like that who can switch positions at the drop of a hat. And it's cool, man. It's something I wear as a badge of honor. I got to go to Hawaii as a tackle too.
Right. Right. I was talking to Dre Bly at the combine and I said something to him like, you know, people don't realize it isn't always easy to be an NFL player. And he stopped me abruptly and said, look, man, it's never easy. Right. And so I think the challenge for guys who have been successful their whole life in things is getting to that level and realizing, man, like this is a daily grind. And I'm going to read you a quote from LaCharles Bentley. And this was about you, because I remember having the talks with you about the offseason work you did out in Arizona with LaCharles and being in that group. It was the Sharks group.
God, that was the best thing ever. I wish I could just stay there in a time capsule with that group in that moment.
Like I literally have goosebumps on my arms right now because I was reading this in one of the stories I wrote about you back in the day. And he said that he sat you down and he said, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go to explore the depth of your potential? And you knew, if you know LaCharles Bentley, you know how a question like that resonates, you know, and yeah. It's like okay, and like for you,
yeah, you I remember just finished vomiting in the parking lot with him working out, and you've got two more hours of bonding with your guys. And I mean, yeah, LaCharles Bentley, he took me and so many countless players, and still does, takes people to a place beyond their comfort zone in the best way possible. He's one of these guys that can, you come to him a boy and you leave a man when you leave out of his place. So
that's some of the secret sauce to this, right? Like, I mean, it is finding someone that can push you beyond where you think you can push yourself. And I bring that up just because I feel like with, you know, like you had said something to me to the effect of like, the off season's a sacred time for players. It's time to go vacation, spend time with your family. Well, you're at the time, a mid 20s guy without a family. And you said, other guys can have cool Instagram feeds. Like, I'm going to go bust my ass to try to become the best football player I can be.
I wanted to come get built like an ox. And I knew that the best person to do that with was LaCharles Bentley. And I knew that I would be surrounded with other Wagyu beef cows. And not only we would be hitting it hard in the weight room, but we'd go out and eat really good places together. And we would, if we had girlfriends, they'd be around. We'd get them all around one another. It's a fraternity, man, this NFL, and there's subcultures within the NFL, the offensive line being one. And then within the offensive line, there's so many places you can train on as an individual, but as a group of men from different teams under one flag. And that was the way that LaCharles Bentley did things. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it was cool to kind of feel the results of the things you talked about during the offseason or training camp. And then you'd watch him on the field and you go, man, like, dude is locked in and he's mauling people and it's making a difference. And I know there was just a great sense of pride within your whole line group when you guys would get in those zones and play that way. A couple other topics before I set you free here. Obviously you played for three different coaches here in Chicago, Trestman, Fox, Nagy. At certain moments of every one of those regimes, it was, hell yeah, we are on the right track. We are going in a direction that Chicago feels proud of. Like, literally, you can feel 100%. The energy. And then there's moments where you could feel it shift to, uh-oh. I'm curious how you can kind of describe the highest of highs that you felt here and what that mean. And then how is a team, you know, when the car is kind of shifted in reverse and is
funny because the highest of highs and the lowest of lows for somebody from the outside looking in, not in my shoes, are different than the ones that I have. So like I remember I'll do strange lows for me. I'll start with strange lows. Strange low is sitting, standing in my locker, watching the team wear the NFC North champs hat, and not being part of the real celebration, being part of the group.
Right.
That was as difficult a time for me as a Bear. Strange low playing in London, because I was playing hurt. I was playing with a torn hip flexor, and I couldn't even lift. Like, I couldn't drive my knee towards my boob. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm trying to go sprint somewhere, I just couldn't. And I let alone drive somebody out of the hole. And I got abused the whole game. I got beat. I got bullied. And that was awful. Like, feeling like I just couldn't get the job done. You know, we flew all this way and I couldn't get the job. Like, it was embarrassing. Right. My now wife and mother of my two beautiful daughters was there and having a great time with my mom and her mom in Europe. And
you're not,
you know, next thing you know, I'm not on the team when I get back. Essentially, they tell me not to come back. So that was a strange time. But the highs, you know, getting an opportunity to step into the meeting room my rookie year, with such an elite cast of minds in terms of the staff on the offense, and then the talent with which I shared the huddle. You look across and it's Alshon Jeffrey, it's Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett. The offensive line's going to not miss a snap. We're all going to play together. Jay Cutler's our quarterback. Devin Hester's returning punts and kicks. This is the squad. Like,
right.
Show us our opponent. Like, who are we playing?
Right.
Is this a Pro Bowl game?
Just record setting, you know, all year.
And we, you know, the way with which we lost in week 17, I believe it was not 18, right? It was 17. No, it was
still 17 back then. Yep.
And I remember not being terribly bummed after that game. And because I'm so fucking stupid. And I was like, we're going to be back.
Right.
And we weren't. And for 5 years. After that, it was like, man, we went 3-13 the next year, I think.
It was enough to cost people their jobs. 5-11. 5-11.
Did we have a 3-13 year?
Yes, that was the last year of Foxy.
So that was 16, 15?
That would have been 17.
See, like, I started to try to forget.
Right.
Like, this
16 is Tampa, like, you know, and like, that's, for me, it's a vivid moment for me. The shovel pass that,
yeah, the shovel
changed
pass
your career, changed your career.
That really changed a lot of stuff. And I remember Dave Magazoo blaming my technique on the play, which is, you know, classic Dave Magazoo. I'm sitting in the training room with my leg is black. Right. He's like, you're trying to get sexy down there doing that. You know, whatever it was.
I was trying to get sexy calling the shovel pass to the Australian rules football fullback.
We ran a deuce. We deuce blocked. It was a great deuce block. The issue was obviously the transition between football in quarterback's hands and football in fullback's hands. And God bless Paul. He was a really great teammate. And it was just unfortunate. Next thing you know, your season's over and you're in the training room for – what, I mean, you didn't know
more than, yeah, that was more than just
you're gonna be there for a very long time.